Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, if there is a single person in this world I respect when it comes to the way in which we conduct our international affairs, it's you. And I mean that. You've been in the Army, you've got a PhD, you really have studied this stuff. Like me, you are loath to send American troops anywhere in this world. I need to talk to you about what's going on in Ukraine and what may be behind all of this.
Well, I'm really concerned about where we are right now. It's not clear to me what our approach, much less policy, is in Ukraine. Look, I'm very concerned about what Russia did. They violated their own word in legal terms in 1994 at the after the breakup of the Soviet Union. There were nuclear weapons that were all over the former USSR, and Ukraine, having a good number of them, agreed to consolidate those weapons back into Russia. And in return, this treaty, which we were part of, we signed as well, and so did Russia and Ukraine, Great Britain, they agreed to honor the territorial integrity of Ukraine. And so when they took this military action in Crimea, that was a violation of their own word. And that's a very serious circumstance. Not to set aside for a moment the disputes in Crimea, which are real and should be mediated and discussed, but taking matters into their own hands in terms of military actions is unacceptable. So I voted to condemn Russia for what they have done and to make a general statement of support for Ukraine. And then about 2 weeks ago, I voted for adding Ukraine to the list of countries that would be eligible for loan guarantees to, in my view, enhance the administration's flexibility as they develop the situation. But last week, on the floor of the House of Representatives, we took a vote that, in my view, was premature and problematical. This vote, this bill was called the Ukraine Support Act. It passed on the floor of the House with 399 votes. There were only 19 dissenting votes. There were two Democrats that voted no and 17 Republicans. I was among those 19 who voted no, and here's why. You know, the bill included military aid to Ukraine. Now, that's a topic area. I'm open to it if I believe then what we're doing is comprehensive, that it makes sense, that it's internally consistent, and that I believe will move us towards a peaceful solution to the situation. None of that is clear to me to this moment. I have not seen a plan at all. Even this morning, we're learning about Secretary Kerry and Lavrov meeting to talk about this situation in Europe. I understand that, support the dialogue, but why did we take a vote that included military aid? And, you know, I guess I was surprised on the floor of the House how many of my colleagues were not aware that that was actually in the bill. Now,
did you talk to any of them?
I did. Now, in fairness, it was added late. There is an evolution to this language. There was initially language on last Monday that actually used the words non-lethal in relation to the military aid. That was expunged by Wednesday. So that track record is already part of the record. So let me read to you. I don't normally do this, but let me read what was in the bill. Statement of policy. It shall be the policy of the United States in consultation with the government of Ukraine to enhance Ukraine's self-defense, including through appropriate assistance to improve the capabilities of the country's armed forces. Now, you go up a couple paragraphs. It talks about articles from the stocks of the Department of Defense in order to provide security assistance, which could include communications equipment, clothing, fuel, and other forms of appropriate assistance.
Other forms of appropriate assistance.
Well, the reason why that's significant is the way it looked just a few days earlier. A few days earlier, the words non-lethal was in that specific paragraph. That was deleted from the paragraph, and they added the terms other forms of appropriate assistance. Now, what this brings to mind is what happened with the Patriot Act. When this was up for reauthorization in 2011, I went through that bill, and I found a series of issues with the bill that were problematical, but there were two major issues. One had to do with roving wiretaps, and the other had to do with Section 215, so-called business records, where that they said in words, they said that the government is authorized to collect relevant information. And I said, what's the legal definition of relevant? They said, you don't need to worry about that. So, of course, this passed. I voted no on the reauthorization of the Patriot Act. But then there was this uproar about the metadata that was being collected. And so we all convened, all of my colleagues. We convened, and member after member came to the mic to chastise the administration for overreaching with regard to the Patriot Act. And the administration spoke back and said, you voted for this. And then they showed a letter where it said that the legal definition of relevant is everything. And so, you know, this is my point. Here we just passed on the floor of the House a statement of policy that's committing to improving the capabilities of the country's armed forces, which, again, I'm open to if I knew the plan. But there is no plan that I can see, and I'm not going to give a blank check. Let's remember what happened in the wake of the summer of 1964 in August. There was some kind of incident in the Gulf of Tonkin where, even to this day, we're not exactly sure what happened. But what we do know is that there was a measure passed in the Congress. There was maybe one dissenting vote. And it basically authorized the president to take any means necessary to deal with the situation in the aftermath of the Gulf of Tonkin. That legal document provided the basis to escalate in Vietnam.
Sure.
So, you know, that's one piece of this. But there's another piece beyond this.
I wanted to stop you for a moment because I think this is going to take more than one conversation. And that is, under the War Powers Act, the administration has to come before they do anything to the Congress. Do you think this would cover them under the War Powers Act?
It doesn't mention anything about the use of force. That is true. But what it does commit to is the materiel and training for the Ukrainian forces. And this has been done without any communication to the American people, much less the Congress. But imagine for a moment we had a situation where we send battalions over along with our equipment to train Ukrainian forces in Ukraine. And then you have some kind of military incursion from Russia where American soldiers are killed. Is that World War III? I'm just saying here, so here's my point to you, is that there should be a conversation among the American people about what our commitment, what our roles and responsibility should be, because I started out this whole entire piece talking to you about what Russia did was wrong. The question now is, what's the right response?
And what is the right response?
To me, I think the right response has to do with rallying the international community to condemn these actions, to stand and to reject Russia as a trading partner. And I think that would have significant weight on their decision making.
Haven't we done that?
Well, where's the joint statement from the leaders that says this is our approach? Now we have taken some action to limit their ability to become part of what would be the G8. But what I have not seen is a comprehensive statement that talks about the approach not only in terms of G7, G8, but also in relation to what the sanctions are going to be in relation to the leadership of Russia and their oligarchs, so that we can continually tighten down the pressure that would have impact on Russia. Because remember, this is not the former Soviet Union. This is not 1956 and 68, when that entity at the time was very insulated. And so trying to make an impact on them was minimal. Today, their financial services sector is integrated throughout the world. And we already saw the oscillation in the ruble and their financial services sector when they made this military incursion.
So Chris Gibson, I'm fascinated by everything you're saying. We are, in fact, out of time for this one. But if people tune in for our next conversation tomorrow.
Well, there's more to say, too, because the bill actually included natural gas exports as well. We should talk about that.
And that, just for a little tease, has to do with fracking. So we'll be back with you tomorrow.